It's good to be here. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. My name is Dove, and I'm glad to be here. It's good to come together. Spring break always brings back memories for me. I was a teacher for 12 years, and I don't know if it's an official rule, but I think teachers aren't supposed to have favorites. But there's certain students I think I will always remember. And there's a student that I had. I'm just going to call her Julie. That's not her real name. But I think I will always remember Julie. Julie came to my class. She came to my freshman biology class. And she was a skinny, young 14-year-old. And she always wore black. And she usually wore a black hoodie, the cool kind with the little hole where you can stick your thumb in, you know. And she wore a black hoodie all the time. And she came in and she was very warm and told me how much she loves science and talked to me about how she wanted to be a physicist and started talking to me about string theory. And as a science teacher, she made a really good first impression. It's like, all right, if all of my students were this excited about science, this would be easy. But she wasn't very warm to other students. In fact, she was very reclusive. She stuck to herself. She hardly smiled, hardly talked to anyone else. And over the course of the year, as I got to know her, I got to hear a little more of her story. And when she was young, she was bullied a lot in school. And students would make fun of her a lot. They would do horrible things to her. They would actually take her and put her head in the toilet and do a lot of things to her that were very cruel. And so her response to that was to kind of withdraw. And then also, her response was to start to get into kind of some dark stuff. So she wore dark clothes all the time. And then she said that she started to call down curses on students. That was her way of retaliating. And she said she would even, on a tennis ball, write a curse and give it to somebody. And kind of got into some dark things that she probably later maybe didn't even want in her life. Now she started to cut herself, and as I got to know her, she's just such a beautiful human being, such a wonderful soul. I really felt for her. And later, she met this senior, and I was always kind of protective, especially with my freshman girls. Like, oh no, don't get in a relationship with a senior. It's just like disaster waiting to happen. But this girl who always stayed to herself, hardly smiled, wore black, started to wear colorful clothes. She started to wear clothes that were more revealing. She started to smile more as she got into this relationship with this guy. I even remember I caught them out on the stairs. And the girl who would have always been to the teachers, you know, always do whatever the teachers say, lied to my face. Like, man, you are a different girl. Who are you? And it was kind of a beautiful thing because she felt loved by somebody and it changed her. It changed the way she saw life. It changed the way she expressed herself. It like opened up a new part of who she was. And I wish, you know, that was the end of the story. Sadly, they broke up and I think she became even more reclusive. And, you know, that's how teenage relationships can be. But I just wanted to talk about that today, how love transforms us. Love changes us. When we are really loved deeply, we become a different person. It brings something out of us that's really beautiful and really good. And so what if we were truly, truly loved exactly as we were? If we knew how much we were loved, what would happen to us? What would that do to us? And so we're kind of winding down on a series called The God Embrace. And The God Embrace kind of looks at that. If we were just completely honest with Jesus, if we sat across the table from Jesus and told him everything we had ever done, ever thought, every motive we had ever had, what would he do? Would he be like, stand up and walk off like, you are a mess. I'm out of here. No. The conclusion I am convinced of is he would embrace us. Say, I love you exactly as you are, right there. And so may we know that embrace and may we deepen a connection with God at the heart level. That is my hope and prayer for each one of us. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the beautiful spring, the birds singing and the sun in the sky and the mountain. And thank you that evidence of your goodness and love is all around us. Thank you for the people in our lives that love us and care about us. And thank you for music. Thank you that we can sing to you and enjoy music. Thank you that you care about us. God, I ask you this morning that you would open us up more and more to your love. That the things in our lives that get in the way of us experiencing your love would be removed. That you would soften our hearts and allow us to know your love and enjoy your love. We need you, God. Your love is a treasure. May your love pour into our lives in a way that we know and experience. In Jesus' name, amen. These are the three questions that I'm going to go through today. How are we affected when we're loved? When we are truly loved, what does that do to us? And then second, what obstacles have you experienced to being loved? What gets in the way of us really knowing God's love and really experiencing and enjoying God's love? And then the third one, what has helped you overcome those obstacles and allow yourself to be loved? But I want to get those juices flowing. What do you think? What is your experience in being loved? So I've been pondering this for a while, and I just want to share some thoughts. They're certainly by no means the end all. I also asked a few people for input over the past couple weeks, and so I tried to incorporate that so it's not just all my thoughts. But how are we affected when we're loved? When I know I'm loved by God, I feel secure with who I am. What an amazing thing. I can stop that crazy pursuit for approval that we all just kind of get stuck in, this hamster wheel of trying to get approval from others. When I know I'm loved by God, I can let go of that. I can be okay with who I am. Another thing, I can grow. When I'm truly loved, I can grow and change and develop in beautiful ways. I have seen in my life that love changes me more than guilt. Guilt does change me, and people can guilt me into certain levels of change, but real deep, lasting, fruitful change comes from being loved more than a sense of guilt. When I am loved by God, I am satisfied by the love that my soul was created to enjoy. There's a satisfaction there. Just like we have a physical hunger for food, our souls have a thirst, a desire for love, because there is love, and it is satisfying. We were meant for love. We were made to be loved. There's nothing richer than loving and being loved by God. And I can enjoy being with God. That satisfaction. I love how Psalm 63 is this. Starting in verse 1, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. We know what that's like around here. That dry land, then that dryness in our souls, that longing. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. What an amazing thing to say. Your love is better than life. Better than my team winning March Madness. Better than anything in life. Your love is better than life. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. So what keeps us from knowing and experiencing the love of God? I wanted to throw out kind of a few big ones that I see. The first one is shame. Shame. If you saw who I truly am, you wouldn't love me. If you knew who I am, you wouldn't love me. This shame. It's interesting, Adam and Eve, after their eyes were opened and they saw good and evil, they looked at themselves and they saw they were naked. Before that, they had no shame. They were just who they were, completely naked. And so the first thing they did is they got leaves and made fig leaf clothes to cover up themselves, to try to cover up that shame. And a lot of us, we don't have fig leaf things, but we put on things around us, different personalities or airs or traits, because of that shame. And just to kind of continue with shame, it might look like I'm not good enough. Or it might look like I'm unlovable. Nobody can really love me. I'm unworthy of love. I am messed up. Actually, the word's a little stronger than messed, but we'll leave it as messed up for Sunday morning. But there's some, even as we read a few weeks ago, when Jesus comes to Peter, Peter says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." That shame. And many of us have experienced some intense self-hatred. Very intense. And that is a really dark and difficult place to be in. This shame that turns into not just, I'm ashamed of who I am, but I hate who I am. And I deserve that. And we're going to talk about overcoming some of that, but what a difficult place to be loved if when we hang on to that. It becomes an obstacle. Fear and distrust. Fear becomes a really intense thing as well. It keeps us from being loved. For some of us, that's a sense that God is angry at me and He wants to punish me. And it's interesting, even as we think about our own dads, I think our own dads have a pretty profound effect on how we see God. And especially if you had an angry dad, it's pretty easy to see an angry God. And for some of us, God is always angry. He's just perpetually angry at me. And in that, I won't trust Him. I have a fear of Him. And when I can't trust God, it's hard to allow Him to love me. It's a very big obstacle. Also a distrust that maybe God is not good. Maybe He's good in general, but He's not for me. He's not on my side. And a lot of that is because He's allowed pain in my life. There is pain in this world. We have all experienced that. And some of us have turned that into a very strong distrust of God, a fear. There's also a fear that love has strings attached to it. If I let somebody love me, that means that I'm now needy and dependent, and I'm not in control. I release some kind of control. So, I'm afraid of losing control, so I'm not going to allow myself to be loved. That fear. Another fear is just the risk of it. The risk of opening ourselves up to love, to that hope, and then to get let down. It's a risk. There is a real risk in allowing someone to love you. And there is a risk in allowing God to love us. If you let someone love you, you also give them the power to hurt you. And so, in that, those fears can keep us from knowing and experiencing God. Another one is pride. Sometimes that looks like, I don't need anyone's love. Love is for sissies. I am an island. See how long that works out for you. Anyways, I've been there. Yeah. That pride. I think a greater form of the pride that I have experienced is I must earn love. So as long as I'm doing all the right things, okay, now I'm worthy of love, now I've earned it, now I can receive love. I am loved when I do these things. But it's still based on me. It's based on my effort, my accomplishment, based on me producing some kind of worthiness. And that pride gets in the way of just being loved in my weakness, loved in my failure, loved in who I am. And I think part of that pride leads to sin. And sin is just means missing the mark. And in those, I'll settle for some little substitutes of love. I'll take what I can get. I can't get any deep, satisfying love, but I'll go for some little things, some little pleasures, some simple things that might make me feel good for a time. But then I've kind of given myself to those things, and it makes it hard for me to experience true love because I've already given my heart to some other places that in the long run will let me down. So, all right, I'm assuming you guys wrote down a lot of similar things. I'm guessing. How can we get over those obstacles and truly experience and know the love of God? How do we stop trying to earn love or trying to seek it in weird ways, but just let ourselves be loved? Allow God to truly love us. And so the first one is just to believe the gospel. I want to talk a little bit about the gospel. The gospel is the word that means good news. So to believe the good news. And so I want to just kind of lay out the story. Originally, people and God lived together. It was amazing. They lived together, they knew love, they shared life together. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden where they lived. People and God were in harmony. And then people decided, I don't know if we want to be in this kind of relationship. And so people chose to rebel and disobey God, and they chose to side with God's enemy. And so people chose to separate themselves from God. And people lived from that time with the influence of God's enemy, Satan, separated from God. And in that place, we experience death and pain and heartache and darkness. And we were under God's wrath. And we experienced this for thousands of years. And people made attempts to try to reach God, to try to be good enough, to try to change what had happened, but they couldn't. And then God sent His Son, Jesus, into that broken, dark, messed up world. And so the Son of God, God the Son, came into our world, took on human flesh, took on our brokenness, our nature, and lived a perfect life and died for us. Died in our place. He paid the debt to satisfy the wrath of God. And after He died, He was raised back to life 3 days later. And so the amazing thing is God has done something on His own that we could never do. To reach into our world and to satisfy that separation that we have chosen by bringing Himself to us. And so that anyone who believes, anyone who puts their trust in what Christ has done, is now connected with God again. That relationship is restored by faith. It requires no effort, requires no works, it requires no special ceremonies, it requires faith. And by faith in what Christ has done, we are restored. We are still living in this broken world, but we are connected, and God's Spirit comes and lives in us. And there's a beautiful promise that one day we will be restored, all things will be made new, and we will live with God completely again. We will walk with Him. We will know Him intimately. amazing promise. And also, even now, before that future time when we get to be with Him, we are completely righteous. We are completely accepted by God because Christ has made us righteous. His life is in us and we're righteous. And so it's not just one day we're going to be with God, but as we put our faith in Christ, we are new. God is okay with us. There is no punishment for us. There is no anger left. There is no wrath. There is no judgment. God is okay with us. We can live in harmony with God. Let's read 1 John chapter 4 if you guys want to grab a Bible. All right, 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. This is the NLT. Starting in verse 7, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." What an amazing phrase. If you don't love, you don't know God, because God is love. That's who He is. He is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love has been brought to full expression through us. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in Him. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we are like Christ in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of judgment, and this shows that His love has not been perfected in us. We love each other as a result of His loving us first. All right, there's a lot in there. We could spend probably some weeks on that. I think this is an amazing phrase. In 18, perfect love expels all fear. Or perfect love drives out fear. The love of God in our life drives away our fear of punishment. And I want to say also, the love of God drives away our shame, drives away our pride. All right, so the gospel to me says, because of what Jesus did, not only do I get to be with God in heaven, but I am completely good with God. My relationship with God is completely good. That's a crazy thing. And I don't know how many of us really walk in that. It doesn't just mean He tolerates us and then one day things are going to be made right. It means I'm completely accepted now. God's completely okay with me. I am completely worthy because Jesus. When God sees me, He sees His Son, Jesus. By myself, I don't have a lot to offer. But because of the value that Christ has given me, I am completely worthy of love. I am completely worthy of acceptance. I am completely received. May we stop trying to earn love and just receive the love that's been freely given us. Another thing I think in our lives, it's in order to experience the love of God, sometimes we need to abandon the lesser things where we're seeking to find love, to find the greater love of God. And to me, I think of it kind of like, imagine if every night when I go to bed, my wife's, who loves me, is laying next to me, and I grab some love letters I used to have from a girlfriend back in high school and sit in bed and read these letters because they make me feel good. Be like, well, that's kind of weird. Because I got real love right here. And instead I'm like, well, these things give me some pleasure. These things make me feel good and loved. Not that those things are wrong in our lives necessarily. Some of them are. Some of them are really dark and twisted. But we have a greater love. It allows us to let go of those little things. To be able to give and receive love from one another. We experience God's love through each other. We are the hands and feet of God. And that love is always imperfect. My love is always imperfect. The people who love me, their love is imperfect. And yet that imperfect love is an expression of the perfect love of God. And it's an amazing tool. The love of people in my life, the love of people even in this room, has been powerful in my life to know God's love for me and to experience it. And then lastly, just as we have the courage to be vulnerable in our lives, we can experience and overcome that obstacle, especially shame and things like that. As I am completely honest with my life, open with who I am, when I'm authentic, when I own my imperfections, then I can be completely loved. And in my life, I feel like I'm always saying this just because it's been such a powerful thing in my life. For the past 20-some years that I've known Christ, one of my favorite ways to just be with God is to go on walks. And sometimes when it's night, I'll just walk around my living room. And sometimes I'll go outside and walk around the block. And sometimes I'll go down to the canal and walk down. And for me, it's just a place where I can be really honest. And there's times when I've yelled and cussed. There's times when I've cried. There's times when I asked for help. There's times when I've danced and celebrated. There's times when I was really crazy about this woman that, by the grace of God, I married, that I just came before God. I'm like, God, help me. I am head over heels for this daughter of yours, and forgive me for my lust, and help me and walk me through this, and just all the honestness, and here's where I'm at. And it's been times when my kids are sick and just asking God for help, and it's been times of repentance, and there's been an amazing thing in my life of being vulnerable with God, being real. And I know it makes no sense, because even though I have my fig leaf, it's like God knows who I am. Why do I need to be real with Him? I don't know. God knows what we want. Why do we pray? I don't know. But I do know in my life, as I have been real with God, this is what I'm angry about. This is where I'm at. I have felt His love just wash over me in amazing ways. And I've gone out just beat down and tired and just weighed down by the world, and I've walked home just light and with a skip in my step. To take that time to be honest and vulnerable, it's so powerful with each other. If you have someone that you can be completely open with, treasure that gift. It's one of the most amazing gifts. we have that with God and we're able to experience that. I encourage you all in that. I know we've kind of set three goals for the next few months. I encourage you guys to continue journaling. For me, that works in different ways than talking out loud, but to journal thoughts and feelings to God, to be really real with where I'm at. And it's amazing to be loved in that spot. God loves you exactly how you are. God doesn't intend for you to stay exactly how you are your whole life. He's not writing in your yearbook, "Hey, stay cool and never change." I thought that was the dumbest thing. It's like, "Hey, please stay like you are as a 17-year-old the rest of your life." It's like, please don't. Stay cool, but change. But God doesn't want us to stay exactly how we are, but He loves us exactly here. God loves you exactly how you are. Exactly with all the fears and doubts and pain and anger and shame and happiness. He loves you because He is love. He loves you because He sees value in you. He put value in you. Not because of some performance you do, but because He sees value in you enough to pay the highest price for you. Enough to put His own Spirit in you when you receive it by faith what He's done. May we know and enjoy that love of God and be transformed. And not just for a short time like my student Julie, who knows this love for a short time, but this love that won't end, that continues to transform us more and more and more. And I encourage each of you, as you know the obstacles you have in your life that keep you from experiencing God's love, that keep you from enjoying God's love, to don't let those stay there. Don't let shame hold you back. Or fear. May perfect love drive out that fear, shame. Even in the midst of a challenging life, may we know and taste and enjoy the love of God. And may we pass it on to others. May we be that way with one another, where someone can be really honest with where they're at and be accepted and be embraced and be loved. In Colossians 1:21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, man, I can relate to that. I knew I was an enemy of God because of my evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you. He has changed you from an enemy to a friend by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. That's what Christ has done for us. He has presented us holy in God's sight, without any blemish, and free from any accusation. In Christ, we are completely holy in God's sight, without a single blemish, without a single accusation. What amazing love. You are loved. God, thank You. Jesus, I thank You for what You've done. I know that I was Your enemy. I know I was so messed up and just into myself. I know I deserved Your wrath. I know that it wasn't just other people that rebelled from You. I have rebelled from You. Thank You, Jesus, for paying for me. Thank You for purchasing me. Thank You for changing me from an enemy to a friend. Thank You for Your deep love for us. Thank You that in Your sight we are without any blemish, without any accusation. God, I pray again that You would bust down any obstacle in the name of Jesus Christ, any obstacle that keeps us from believing and knowing that we're loved, that You would destroy those, that we could walk secure knowing that we are loved. In Jesus' name, amen.